This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. I pray you'll be blessed by our program today. My name is Warren, and today we're going to share Jesus with those who are listening. We're going to read from a book, or two books actually. One of them is about the life of Jesus, and one of them is about how to get to know Jesus. And both of these books we are offering to give you, to post to you. If you'd like to receive these books, you can contact us and we'd be happy to post you one. You know, friends, we're living in a time where this world is falling apart. People are losing hope in the future. I was fortunate enough to live through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. In those days, life was good. But today, there are so many bad things happening in the world, the weather, with lots of things. And it's not, our future does not seem certain. And friend, getting to know Jesus at this time is vitally important. Because you see, it's not too late. And even if you do know about Jesus, but you are not walking with him, you know, Jesus is never more than one step away. No matter how far you've walked in the opposite direction, if you will just turn around, he will help you. So today, we are offering the book Steps to Jesus and the book The Desire of Ages. And I would be happy to give them to anybody who would like to read and be blessed by these. Now, you can contact us in a number of ways, and most people continue to contact us through the station, and they're happy to pass on any details. but you can also contact us on our email address, which is 999AmazingGrace@gmail.com. That's 999 Amazing Grace, and Amazing Grace is only 1G, at gmail.com. Or more simply, you could text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, let's start today's program with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to look and to study your word, to read and to understand more about you and your plan for our life. Father, we thank you that you've given us healthy bodies, and I just pray that today as we look at our health tip that we can see how to be more healthy. So we pray for our listeners and their families, Lord, praying for your blessing upon them, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, we're just going to just leave a thought with you with our devotion today. And would you like to live your life over again? Okay, a Bible verse that we're going to use today is 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, being Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so if you ask people the question, would you like to live your life over again, most people say, oh, I surely would. There's a lot of things that I'd do differently. No, would you like to live your life over again just the way you have lived it, without changing any part of it? The more one has seen of what life has to offer in this world, the quicker comes the response, no thanks. Since this is true, then one of the greatest hopes that we have here is for heaven, to accept the salvation that God has provided and to help others accept it is our biggest purpose for being here. Aren't you thankful today that we believe in heaven? There are many people who do not believe that heaven is a real place, but the doctrine of heaven is a real place. It is a Bible doctrine in which Christians believe strongly. If heaven seems unreal to you, perhaps it is because Jesus seems unreal. A skeptic once said to a little street urchin who believed in heaven, but what if you get to heaven and Jesus isn't there? And the boy replied, where Jesus is, that is heaven. If Jesus is real, then heaven is real. Is Jesus real to you, friend? Most people believe that he was real before his resurrection. Some have trouble believing that he is real afterward. But the Bible teaches that Jesus is real post-resurrection. Luke 24:39 says the disciples thought that they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Thomas was a doubter, but Jesus told him in John 20:27, reach hither in your hand and touch me, handle me. And Thomas exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Jesus was just as real after he was resurrected as he was before. Add to that 1 John 3:2, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are going to be like Jesus when he comes again, and since Jesus is real, when we see him face to face, we will be real. Heaven won't be some vague mystical place. It will be a real place.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry. Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open to a world where wrong seems right. His love our hearts can feel. All the grief they bear, they must hear the words of life. Only we can share.
Listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. And it's time for the health tip of the week. So leaving me in a little bit of consternation, some people are saying that the health tip's too long and some people are saying they'd like to hear more information. So I think we'll just continue to keep talking about some of the subjects that people are enjoying the feedback on. One of them is about sleeping. Now, one of the problems about sleeping is part of the problem of you not sleeping well or going to sleep is what you do before you go to sleep. And so it doesn't just require a pill and then you get into bed and go to sleep. It requires quite a total rethink about what you do before you go to sleep. And there are some people that can do everything they shouldn't do before they go to sleep, and they can still fall asleep and have a good night's rest. But there are many of you who are struggling with sleeping. Some of you are struggling to get to sleep, and then some of you are struggling to stay asleep. And so we're going to share just a very few thoughts, and we've named this one the 3-2-1 sleep rules. And if you follow these rules, I guarantee you that you will sleep better than what you are at the moment. But it takes discipline. So let me share this. 3 hours before bed, no more food or alcohol. Okay. 2 hours before bed, no more work. 1 hour before bed, no more screen time. Shut off phones, TVs, and computers. And, you know, that's the issue. If you did that just once, you would find that that would help you. I mean, there's many things that we've shared. A routine helps you to get to sleep. Exercising in the afternoon helps you to get to sleep. Getting plenty of sunlight in the morning helps you to get to sleep. So these are not just the only ways to help you to sleep, but these are the ones that matter before you go to sleep. So if you've been looking at a screen for 5 or 6 hours, don't expect to fall straight off to sleep. Unless, of course, you're trying to watch the end of a program, and then you're probably guaranteed to. But if you go to bed and you've been looking at a screen for a long time, you are probably going to struggle to get to sleep. Or if you get to sleep, you're going to wake up and then not get back to sleep. So 3 hours before you go to bed, do not eat anything substantial. I know a number of people who come home, they have a big feed, they sit down in front of the TV or their tablet or their laptop or their phone, and then they watch that, and then they think they can spring up and go to bed and fall asleep. Well, some people can, but a lot of people can't. So no food or alcohol 3 hours before you go to bed. 2 hours before bed, no more work, okay, because of the concentration that it takes. A lot of people get on their laptop and they do stuff that they didn't have time to do during the day right up until the point where they want to go to bed and sleep, and then they find they can't. And I would suggest that 1 hour, it says, is ideal, but at least 30 minutes. Do not look at screens for at least 30 minutes. And if you do that, you will have a good chance of going to sleep or staying asleep. So no food or alcohol 3 hours before, 3 hours before you go to bed, 2 hours, no more work, and 1 hour, or certainly 30 minutes to 60 minutes, no more screen time at all. And you will find that if you just do these things, you will find that you will sleep better. That I can guarantee you.
When I see my brother stumble and all his dreams crumble, let me be there, for I too fail. And when I see his heart breaking from a wrong turn he's taking, let me be there, for I remember well. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life removing pain. Lord, let my word heal a heart that hurts. I want to spend my life mending broken people. A life that's broken, Lord, give me words that should be spoken, for I well remember the pain. And when I see teardrops falling, Lord, remind me of my calling. Help me restore their faith in you. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life mending broken people.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawa 2 People's Radio. Okay, we're going to share a thought before the break. A pure heart, we've called it. Then I shall hear the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. Isaiah 6, verse 8. It takes a pure heart to see God. You can attend church services, read your Bible and pray, but if sin fills your heart, you will not see God. You will know when you have encountered God because your life will no longer be the same. Isaiah was concerned with the death of King Uzzah, the able king of Judah, but was disoriented to his heavenly father. Then something happened that forever changed Isaiah's life. God, in all his awesome majesty, appeared to him in the temple, surrounded by heavenly creatures. Instantly, God's presence made Isaiah aware of his sinfulness. One of the seraphim came to him with a burning coal and cleansed Isaiah of his sin. Immediately, Isaiah began to hear things that he'd never heard before. Now he was aware of a conversation in heaven concerning who might be worthy to be God's messenger to the people. This prompted Isaiah's eager response, here am I, send me. Now that God has cleansed Isaiah, he was aware of heavenly concerns and prepared to offer himself in God's service. Whereas Isaiah had been preoccupied with earthly matters, now his only concern was the activity of God. If you have been estranged from God and his activity, you need to experience his cleansing. Sanctification prepares you to see and hear God. It enables you to serve him. Only God can purify your heart. Allow him to remove any impurities that hinder your relationship with him, and your service to him will have meaning as you offer him your consecrated life. Yes, we're all sinners, and the difference between saved sinners and lost sinners is that saved sinners have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, and they allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify them. In fact, they ask God to sanctify them because we can't sanctify ourselves. And so as we do those things, the Holy Spirit comes in and he shows us the sin in our life that we need to – we can't get rid of it, but we need to give him permission to get rid of it. And as we do that each and every day, God slowly but surely removes sin out of our life, and he even removes the desire for that sin. And I know that because God has done that in my life, and so I give him all praise and glory.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawa 2, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawa 2 People's Radio. And so as we start the second half of our program, we want to just remind you that we're reading from the next particular parts of our program from two books. One is entitled Steps to Jesus, and it's about how to get to know him better and the different areas. Today we're looking at prayer. And then last of all, we're reading from a book entitled The Desire of Ages, which is about the life of Jesus taken from the Gospels. Okay, friends, we continue to read from that chapter, which is called The Privilege of Prayer. We should speak to each other of the love of God and the plan of salvation. This would bring new life into our hearts and to one another. We would daily learn more about our Heavenly Father and receive more of his grace. We would desire to speak of his love, and our own hearts would be warmed and encouraged. We will have more of Christ's presence when we think and talk about him and not so much about ourselves. We should delight to talk of God and praise him. If we would think of him as often as we are blessed, he would ever be in our thoughts. We talk about our business because this interests us. We talk about our friends because we love them. They are part of our joys and sorrows, yet we have as much greater reason to love God than any of our earthly friends. If we make him first in our thoughts, it will be easy for us to talk of his goodness and to tell of his power. The rich gifts God gives us are not supposed to fill our thoughts until we have no time for him. They are to keep reminding us of him and helping us love him more. Let us look to heaven, where the glory of God shines from the face of Christ. He is able now and always to save those who come to him. Sorry, who come to God through him. Hebrews 7:25. We need to praise God more for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Our prayers should not be just asking and getting what we ask for. We are not to think always of our wants and never of our blessings. We do not give thanks enough. We are always receiving God's blessings, and yet how little we give thanks. How little we praise him for what he has done for us. Long ago, the Lord told the people of Israel to meet together at certain times. He said, "There in the presence of the Lord your God, who has blessed you, you and your families will eat and enjoy good things that you have worked for." Deuteronomy 12:7. When we do something for the glory of God, we should do it cheerfully, with songs of praise and gladness. Our God is kind, merciful Father. Working for him should be a happy experience. It should be a pleasure to worship the Lord and to take part in his work. God has given us salvation, and he does not want us to think of him as a hard master. He is our best friend, and when we worship him, he expects to be with us and bless us. He wants to fill our hearts with joy and love. The Lord desires us to take comfort in his work. He wants us to find more pleasure than hardship in serving him. He wants us to carry away happy thoughts of his love and care when we worship him. These thoughts should bring cheer to our daily work and give us grace to be honest and faithful. We must make the cross of Christ the center of our lives. We should think and talk about what he did for us. These thoughts should fill us with joy. We should keep in mind the blessings and the love we receive from God. We should be willing to trust Jesus with everything, for his hands were nailed to the cross for us. Praise lifts the heart nearer to God and to heaven. God is worshipped with song and music in heaven, and when we praise God, we worship him as do the holy angels. He says, "Giving thanks is the sacrifice that honors me." Psalms 50:23. Let us come before our Creator with holy joy. Let us worship him with thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Isaiah 51:3. And that's the end of the chapter, The Privilege of Prayer. But a wonderful chapter, and you would be very blessed to have that in your library and read it. You know, when I read that book at least once every 6 to 12 months, and I just find new things each time I read it and find it's a real blessing in getting to know the Lord.
Your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is fading. Just come, come, believing everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Behind the mask you're hiding, here is someone to confide in. I know what you've done. Come and tell me everything you're hoping. A father loves a heart that's open. Just come. So you could try to save yourself. I know who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Come. Believe in everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save? You are, don't try to be somebody else. Come. When your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded, won't you come? Come. Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just
listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. And in our last segment today, friends, we are going to read from the book entitled The Desire of Ages. And today we are reading from the chapter 52, which is entitled The Divine Shepherd. What does the word divine mean? It means God, doesn't it? As the shepherd goes before his sheep, himself first encountering the perils of the way, so does Jesus with his people. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The way to heaven is consecrated by the Saviour's footprints. The path may be steep and rugged, but Jesus has travelled that way. His feet have pressed down the cruel thorns to make the pathway easier for us. Every burden that we are called to bear, he himself has borne. Though now he ascended to the presence of God and shares the throne of the universe, Jesus has lost none of his compassionate nature. Today, the same tender, sympathizing heart is open to all the woes of humanity. Today, the hand that was pierced is reached forth to bless more abundantly his people that are in the world, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, says the divine shepherd Jesus. The soul that hath given himself to Christ is more precious in his sight than the whole world. The Saviour would have passed through the agony of Calvary that one might be saved in his kingdom. He will never abandon one for whom he has died. Unless his followers choose to leave him, he will hold them fast. Through all our trials, we have a never failing helper. He does not leave us alone to struggle with temptation, to battle with evil, and be finally crushed with burdens and sorrow. Though now he is hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear his voice saying, "Fear not, I am with you. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Revelation 1:18. I have endured your sorrows, experienced your struggles, encountered your temptations. I know your tears. I also have wept. The griefs that lie too deep to be breathed into any human hair, I know. Think not that you are desolate and forsaken. Though through your pain, touch no responsive chord in any heart on earth, look unto me and live. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on thee. Isaiah 54:10. However much a shepherd may love his sheep, he loves his sons and daughters more. Jesus is not only our shepherd, he is our everlasting Father. And he says, "I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father." John 10:14-15. What a statement is this! The only begotten Son, he who is in the bosom of the Father, he whom God has declared to be the man that is my fellow. The communion between him and the eternal God is taken to represent the communion between Christ and his children on the earth. Because we are the gift of his Father and the reward of his work, Jesus loves us. He loves us as his children. Reader, he loves you. Heaven itself can bestow nothing greater, nothing better. Therefore, trust. Jesus thought upon the souls of all the earth who were misled by false shepherds. Those whom he longed to gather as the sheep of his pasture were scattered among wolves. And he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd." John 10:16. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might gain it again. That is, my Father has so loved you that even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father. I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, for I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. While as a member of the human family, he was mortal. As God, he was the fountain of life for the world. He could have withstood the advances of death and refused to come under its dominion. But voluntarily he laid down his life that he might bring life and immortality to light. He bore the sin of the world, endured its curse, yielded up his life as a sacrifice that men might not eternally die. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of it all. And you know, that's the gospel there, friends. As we come to the end of that chapter, Jesus died so that we don't have to eternally die. Jesus paid for our sins so that we don't have to pay that debt. That's what Calvary was about, friends. That's why Calvary is going to be remembered and celebrated by all of those who have been redeemed by this world, because God didn't just say that he loved us. God proved it by his actions. God took our place so that we might take his place. He is the true substitute, the substitute who took death and destruction upon himself, that he might give us glory and grace. And so here at Amazing Grace, we would just like to praise God. Praise God for what he has done for each one of you. And you, listener, you can have eternal life because of what Jesus has done for you. And I pray that you take hold of the promise that he is offering to you. when God spared not? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. God could not spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah when rebellion reached a certain point. Another time that God spared not is found in Romans 11:21. Paul was writing to the Christians at Rome, imploring them to change their ways. He reminded them that even though they were wild branches that had been grafted into the olive tree, God had broken off the natural branches because there came a point where he could no longer spare the entire Jewish nation. A third instance when God spared not was when the justice it described in 2 Peter 2:5. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world. The fourth time that God spared not involved the very universe. 2 Peter 2:4 says, God spared not the angels that sinned. Sin went on in the very presence of God. Rebellion broke out in his courts, led by a mighty angel. Although God was extremely patient, he eventually had to call a halt to the rebellion. You know the results of the war in heaven. Those angels who were cast out are still present in our world today. Well, the justice of God looks rather grim, doesn't it? He didn't spare a city, a nation, a world, or even a universe because of sin. How can the same God ever find enough mercy to pardon one individual sinner? There is a hope for each one of us because God spared not one more time. Romans 8:32 tells us that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. If you will study the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, you will discover that this is the greatest time when God spared not. Here is demonstrated the realization that God gave himself. None of this idea of God pleading for his son to go, or Jesus pleading with his irate father to spare these people, away with such concepts. Instead, you can see the Father and the Son involved together in this great sacrifice. Jesus was the greatest gift that God could have ever given us. He spared not his own Son so that the justice could remain true and his love equal to it. Friends, the greatest gift that God could have ever given you was given in Jesus Christ. God gave up his own Son that you could have eternal life, that you could be set free from your sins. Friends, if you will turn to Jesus today, if you recommit yourself to him, he will work in your life to change you from a lost sinner into a saint. Not because you are worthy, but because God is worthy and God gave up his son so that you too could be called a son and a daughter of God. Friends, as we finish our time today here on Amazing Grace on Manawatu People's Radio, we would just like to pray for those people who are listening and their families. And so we just ask you to either close your eyes or bow your head. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to share hope in a hopeless world. Father, we thank you that you spared not your own son, but gave him up so that we could all be reconciled to you, so that we could be one family again, Lord. And because of that great sacrifice, not only ourselves, but our friends and family can also be saved. May we share this wonderful story about God who came to this world, the Son of God who died that I might live, that you might live, that everyone that accepts this gift might live. And so, friends, Father, it is my prayer for each person listening today, for them and their families, that they will give their lives to Jesus Christ and be saved and become the sons and the daughters of God. And it's my prayer, and I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for putting up with my voice. I'm not sure what's happened to it, but it's not 100% today. But anyhow, I pray that she will be blessed. And So from all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.